Hey, Brandon, let's get started.
Okay, so are we recording?
Yeah, you should be good to go.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
All right, thank you. So welcome everyone, welcome members and other persons watching our meeting today. This is the July 11th meeting of the Judicial Branch Budget Committee. Our meeting is open to the public and it is being recorded. The meeting is being conducted in person, although we have at least one member attending virtually, as well as members of our staff. The public can watch the meeting via a listen-only video feed. I would ask Budget Committee members and others who may be presenting today or answering questions, please remember to unmute yourself prior to speaking. To minimize background, please mute yourself when not speaking. Also, before you speak, please identify yourself for purposes of the recording. Ms. Cowan, will you please take roll?
Judge Mormon.
Present.
Mr. Yamasaki.
Yes, good afternoon, present.
Thank you. Justice Fujisaki.
Here.
Thank you. Justice Hill.
Present.
Thank you. Judge Armendariz.
Here.
Judge Baki.
Here.
Thank you. Judge Crompton.
Appears Judge Crompton has not joined us yet.
And Rachel Hill is on the line.
And Ms. Hill is attending virtually. We only have the minutes to vote on today. She's electing not to vote, but she is attending our meeting. Thank you very much.
Okay, we have a quorum.
All right, great. So first I'd like to address the minutes from our previous meeting on June 4th. The minutes are in your materials at pages 3 and 4. If I can have a motion.
Yamasaki moves.
Yamasaki second.
Thank you. Thank you, Justice Fujisaki. Before we have a vote, I do want to apprise members of the committee and those persons who are listening that, as we all know, at our last meeting, we voted on a recommendation from TICFAC concerning the methodology of allocating the $97 million reduction in trial court funding from the general fund. And the methodology that TICFAC had recommended came to our committee. We voted to approve the recommended methodology, which in turn you will remember, this was the methodology used in 2021 when we received a budget cut during the pandemic. And subsequent to our meeting on June 4th, it was learned that the calculations reflected in the spreadsheets contained a mathematical error or an error in calculation. And that calculation has been corrected, and the corrected allocations are set forth in the materials for the Judicial Council meeting tomorrow. Judge Conklin will be presenting on that recommendation from JBBC and TICFAC tomorrow. I want to emphasize that the error in calculation, one, it was a slight error. It doesn't involve a lot of money relative to the overall reduction, much less to the overall budget allocation to the branch of over $3 billion. It is common. We work very hard to before Judicial Council meetings to make sure our calculations that are set forth in our spreadsheets are accurate. We fortunately discovered this error a few days ago. It's been corrected, and the corrected information is part of your Judicial Council materials tomorrow. And since that relates to our last meeting, I wanted to provide the members with that information. Otherwise, all those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? And we have one abstention in the form of Ms. Hill. All right, thank you. We'll move to the public comment portion of the meeting. Ms. Cowan, did we receive any public comment?
There's no public comment received for the meeting.
Thank you. So we have an information item today, an update on the Budget Act of 2024. Ms. Fran Mueller, our Deputy Director of Judicial Council Budget Services, is joining us on Zoom, I believe. Fran?
I'm here, Judge Mormon. Can you hear me?
Now I can.
You can hear me, yes. Okay.
I can hear you. I don't see you.
I have my video on. Huh. There we go.
There you are.
Okay.
Hi. There you are. Welcome. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. So as Judge Mormon introduced me, I'm Fran Muller. I'm the Deputy Director with Judicial Council's Budget Services Office. I'm here for my colleague, Zlatko Theodorovich, who is on a well-deserved vacation with his family and will be returning in time for the council meeting tomorrow. So I'd like to provide just a brief budget update for fiscal year 24-25. So the governor signed the main budget bill, AB 107, at the end of June, along with numerous budget-related bills to implement the final budget. The enacted budget addresses a projected shortfall of $46.8 billion through a number of solutions, and these include the use of reserves, additional revenues, borrowing, and baseline funding reductions throughout state government. As the budget deficit is forecast to be a multi-year problem, many of the solutions are ongoing. This includes ongoing reductions to the judicial branch. So the final budget for our branch provides $5.1 billion in total operating and facilities funds. On June 28th, Administrative Director Shelley Curran issued a budget memo to the branch, which detailed the judicial branch's budget and conducted statewide calls with court leadership. So as the majority of the proposals in the budget were already discussed during those calls, I'd like to focus my comments today just on the reductions to state government that were included in the final budget. So for the judicial branch, this includes a $97 million reduction to trial court operational funding, which Judge Mormon just referenced, and a commensurate reduction of 7.95% to the budget for the state level judiciary. The 7.95% reduction also applies to other state government operations budgets, and the enacted budget assumes total statewide savings from this reduction of $2.17 billion general fund. So it is a very large solution. The 7.95% reduction has not yet been applied to individual department and agency budgets. At this time, the judicial branch has not been provided reduction amounts for specific branch entities. On July 1st, the Department of Finance released a budget letter related to the 7.95% reduction, which is described as an efficiency measure. Finance has directed state entities to begin preparing and planning now to identify potential cost-saving measures. Finance will work with agencies and departments over the coming months on these required reductions. Although departments and agencies, including the judicial branch, have flexibility to identify reductions that best fit their operational and program needs, the Department of Finance has directed that these savings must be realistic and achievable as a 7.95% reduction is statutorily required. So we've met with our finance colleagues to begin discussing these reductions and will continue to do so. During these discussions, we'll have an opportunity to provide information regarding the impact of this reduction on the critical programs and services provided by the branch. These discussions will review specific reduction impacts and why in certain situations we may advocate for consideration that areas of our budget potentially be excluded from the reduction. This may include reductions to programs or services related to security, public safety, or risk management, or that result in severe impacts that preclude providing access to the courts. The Judicial Council and other branch entities have already begun to identify and assess potential saving strategies that would achieve the savings required in the budget. It's important that saving strategies are implemented as soon as possible. Even if we don't know what our final reduction amounts will be, we know that there will be reductions to our current year budget. And achieving these reductions will be more difficult later in the fiscal year. These are challenging fiscal times for the state, and this is a very difficult budget for the judicial branch. As the Chief Justice noted in her statement on the budget, We will work diligently to mitigate and manage impacts to the courts and to the public. The budget also includes another efficiency measure to eliminate 10,000 positions statewide and achieve savings of $1.5 million associated with those positions. We are not required to participate in that position reduction drill. The Department of Finance intends to work with agencies and departments first on the position reduction measure, as this could also impact potential savings that are scored through the 7.95% reduction. So this is why the timing of our discussions with finance related to the 7.95% reduction will likely occur in the fall after finance has completed the position reduction. So regarding other budget-related bills, AB 170 is the courts trailer bill, and it implements several proposals in the budget. Specifically, this bill extends authorization for civil and criminal remote proceedings until January 1st, 2027, and also requires the council to report information from the Superior Courts regarding minimum standards for remote technology to the legislature. This bill also decreases the required amount for the Judicial Council to hold and reserve in the trial court trust fund from $10 million to $5 million, and this is for emergency use for the trial courts if needed. Looking ahead to the 25-26 budget development process, the Judicial Council will consider budget change proposals and capital outlay budget change proposals at tomorrow's council meeting. The budget change proposals were recommended by this committee, and the capital outlay budget change proposals and the judicial branch's five-year infrastructure plan were recommended by the Court Facilities Advisory Committee. In the context of the state's multi-year projected deficit, these budget proposals balanced responsible investment in core programs and services provided by the branch with the limited state resources available to support government functions. Once approved by the council, the proposals will be submitted to the Department of Finance in the coming weeks for consideration in the 25-26 budget. And that concludes my presentation. I'm happy to address any questions.
Thank you. Before I ask for questions from our members, do you have any information to share with our membership about June revenues?
June revenues, they were up. I don't have them right before, but the last two revenue updates that we did receive were up a little bit, so it was promising, but there is still quite a bit of ways to go to make up for the shortfall in revenues earlier in the year. Judge Mormon, I can get that information and send it out to you and the committee members so you have more current information.
Sure. I know that June, for member and other persons who may be interested, June is a significant month for revenue for the state, and so the June numbers may be more meaningful than some other months. So we'll get those numbers and we'll share them.
I don't think June's come out just yet. It was the previous ones that came out a little bit. So yes, we'll track them and get those out to the members.
Great, thank you. Any questions? I don't see any hands. Thank you. Ms. Mueller, appreciate it very much. Okay, then we'll move to our next item. Agenda. We're going to discuss the Funding Methodology Subcommittee Annual Work Plan. The materials appear at pages 5 through 21. We have Judge Conklin here with us in person today. He's the chair of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee. He and Ms. Rose Lane from Judicial Council Budget Services will be making the presentation about the annual work plan. Judge Conklin.
Judge Mormon and members, thank you very much. It's nice to be in the room presenting this afternoon. I will note, if Fran is still listening, I was texting with Zlotko just a moment ago, and he's made his flight, so he'll be supposed to be on time for tomorrow.
Okay, great.
But he's sorry he can't be here for this. I'm going to turn it over to Rose in just a moment to update you on our Funding Methodology Subcommittee work plan. I remind you all, I'm sure you know, the Funding Methodology Subcommittee is a subcommittee that deals with allocation methodologies developed by TCBAC to allocate the funds that come in and significantly in this year, also deal with allocations of reductions that come in. I'll detail much more of that tomorrow, but that is the hard work they're going to do. And as Rose is about to note, those allocation methodologies are going to be continued to be addressed in the upcoming year. So policy dictates that those allocations be made on time, but that those methodologies can also always be re-examined after the allocations have been made for the appropriate fiscal year. And with that, I'll turn it over to Rose with my thanks for her presentation. Rose.
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon. My name is Rose Lane, and I'm a senior analyst with Budget Services. This report is to provide the committee with an overview of the updates to the Funding Methodology Subcommittee, known as FMS, annual work plan for fiscal year 24-25 and beyond. With some background, the FMS prepares an annual work plan that guides the committee's work to review and refine the workload formula and evaluate allocation methodologies to distribute funding to the trial courts in a manner that advances funding equity and stability. The work plan is reevaluated on an annual basis. The Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, known as TICBAC, met on July 2nd and approved the following updates. Item 1 was removed. The development of an ongoing workload-based methodology for allocation of court interpreter program funding, as data collected in the court interpreter data collection system reports a significant decline in the need for video remote interpreting. Additionally, courts are billing each other for cross assignments as needed. Item 2 was moved into fiscal year 24-25, which is the reevaluation of the court cluster system to provide additional time for the Data Analytics Advisory Committee to review the statewide four cluster model and its criteria. The TICBAC approved to add items 3 and 4 to the work plan. Item 3 is to consider further refinements to the workload formula policy, including methodologies to allocate future budget reductions and/or restoration of funding that had been previously reduced due to budget shortfalls. And item 4 is the reevaluation of the trial court minimum operating and emergency fund balance policy. This is to determine if the policy should be repealed at a future time based on the state level emergency reserve and the fund balance cap. This policy has been suspended since fiscal year 2012-13. Lastly, the TICBAC approved to retain items 6 and 7 on the work plan. Item 6 will continue to provide the base funding floor courts with a method to request funding augmentations as needed to support court operations. And then item 7 is an annual review of any workload formula adjustment request process of submissions received, which is consistent with council policy. The approved work plan for fiscal year 24-25 is provided as attachment 1D on page 21 of your materials. And this concludes our informational report. Budget Services is happy to take any questions you may have.
Judge Conklin, did you want to add anything before I open it up to questions?
My thanks to Rose and staff. It was a great update. FMS, and my thanks to the FMS committee members. It's been an interesting year, and I'm sure next year will be equally challenging. and we welcome that challenge. Any questions, I'm more than happy to address.
Does anybody have any questions or any comments? I don't think we need any formal motion on this matter because this is the TUGPEC subcommittee. And again, I want to thank staff, also the members of the FMS and all the members from TUGPEC who do an amazing amount of work and are thorough examiners of the issues that need to be included in the work plan. So thank you for the presentation, Ms. Lane. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Rose.
So that largely concludes our agenda. Our next meeting is currently scheduled for September 18th, 2024, from 1 to 2:30 p.m. There may be an adjustment as to the time. We'll know as that date gets closer. If there's no further business today, then the meeting stands in adjournment.